Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We were promised for literally years, and I think it was a central part of Trump's campaign, that we would have the Epstein list.
And we are one October 7th event away from having the type of chaos where people will beg for safety. He says no one goes more than two terms without getting owned. It's in everybody's best interest to keep those tapes, that information, out.
We were promised for literally years, and I think it was a central part of Trump's campaign, that we would have the Epstein list. And that has fallen through completely. So I want to hear your take on it, and we can just get into some sort of conversation. I have some counterpoints that I've heard that I'm curious what you would say to.
You saw Trump's statement where he says, are we still talking about Epstein?
Right.
Who cares about this?
Right.
So what do you think?
Well, it's tricky. On one hand, I think that Donald Trump could be on the list. That's what people are talking about. On the other hand, what I'm having a hard time with rectifying is the fact that the Democrats would not have put it out. And the counter argument to that is, well, maybe there are Democrats on there, and maybe we shouldn't be looking at this from a left-right perspective. Maybe we need to look at this more from an establishment, or, you know, you could call it a deep state perspective versus the common folk. What's hard for me is when I see the Democrats go in so hard on Trump to get him jailed, for instance. Why would Biden not take some part of the Epstein? We call it the client list, but there's no list. It's thousands of pages of data that someone could make a list from. And so why would the Democrats not release 50 pages that incriminate Donald Trump rather than not posting them at all? That's a question that I have. So I'm kind of in the middle on it. I just don't really know what to think about it.
All right, let me give you an interesting perspective. So when I was running for Congress, when we were getting close to the end, we were having a lot of momentum. And I had this guy who was just barely retired. He's a Green Beret. And he says, Jason, I want to meet with you, and let's do lunch. I want to talk. So he had retired. He said he'd been working in D.C. And he says, I want you to understand, if you get back there, what you're facing, because we all get so frustrated with representatives who say all the right things, have good hearts like you, and then they get out there and all of a sudden, within a matter of time, it seems like they change.
Right, right.
And he says, this is what goes down behind the scenes. He says, when you get out there, you will have a team of literally 10 people assigned to you, and they have one job. Whether it's girls, boys, women, money, their job is to find your whatever your vice is and compromise you.
Gotcha.
Get it recorded.
So that they have dirt on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he said, and then here's the thing he told me. He says, no one goes more than two terms without getting owned. So, And this is where I appreciate, you know, perspectives where people talk about whether you call it secret combinations or, yeah, or you know, organized, what however you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is, they are allowed to call each other out. They will fight each other. And they truly, I think a lot of them are in opposition to each other and have different, you know, ideologies. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, what they know is there's some lines you don't cross. Because if I am taped doing things that I never want out, and right, you are taped doing things that you never want out, and this is why all of a sudden Epstein has to disappear. Because it's in everybody's best interest to keep those tapes, that information, out of the public's eye. Now, outside of that, I can call you out on all sorts of dirt. I can call you here. But there is a line we don't cross.
Yeah, that's
and
too dirty.
We don't
dirty
cross
too.
It because and I don't care, you name any politician, any, and I would take on any politicians. I don't care who. Mm-hmm. I would sit down with any politician, including Mike Lee, and there's no way they could tell me this, what I'm talking about, is not real. They all know what's happening. So why all of a sudden, you know, does all, no one care about it? Because nobody wants what's on there to be known. And I'm telling you, I think the thing that would surprise people is how compromised almost all of our politicians are.
So I agree with that, and I see where you're coming from. I would say my biggest counter argument that I feel, and I've heard a lot of people mention, is when you look at politics and you look especially at some of these bureaucrats, the incompetence is so high. And so for me, I look at this and I do believe that there would be an incentive out there for them all to get dirt on each other so that it's a ring, you know, for example. But at the same time, there are so much incompetence. Why is there not some sort of whistleblower or someone who has access to that information who's not an elected official, just a rando? How does that not get leaked? Because for me, I'm seeing the Trump administration, and there's leaks left and right. When it comes to Iran, there's leaks here. And maybe those leaks are planned. That could all be planned. It could just be so perfect. But my skepticism in me tells me, wouldn't something get leaked? Wouldn't something look bad? Or maybe something has been leaked and I'm just missing it.
I mean, you look at Snowden, you look at how many whistleblowers end up on the other side.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
True.
I mean, that stuff happens.
True.
Like, let's not pretend that what's gone on around the Clintons, you know what I mean? We go back to that. We forget about that all the people that end up, you know, missing or, you know, again, it may sound, you know, like conspiratorial, but also there's a level of like, let's not be naive that this type of evil and this type of corruption at the greatest empire in the history of the world, where there's so much power at stake, to think that there's not organization behind it. You go look at Hollywood. Okay. You see one of the things you see all the time, you see this imagery, the one eye stuff, and you can see it all over how many of these different celebrities you'll see doing this, the secret.
Yeah, the videos are crazy.
Yeah, including the little SH, the shh. Right. What is that secret? Mm-hmm. The secret is there's things going on behind the scenes, right? To think that there's not a darker underbelly to the political, to Hollywood, to in this country, honestly, it is naive. It is naive to think that there's not a darker underbelly. And especially when you see the symbolism over and over and over again. And I think to me that, and everyone will just, I mean, you could take a poll with every one of your listeners and say, do you believe this is a left, right, or good versus evil? And everyone says, no, this is good versus evil.
For sure, for sure.
To think that evil is not organized, especially if you're a religious person, mm-hmm. and where it's literally all over in scripture that this type of stuff would go on before. So I'm tired of I'm not here about, personally, I don't really care about likes and this and that. To me, I'm in a fight with truth. I am in a fight against tyranny, against those things that are taking away our freedoms and our liberties, that are destroying the Constitution, that are destroying the fabric of our society. And I will fight that fight wherever I find it. And we used to fight it, you know, with, you know, exposing, you know, smart cities, exposing Marxism, exposing what's going on in our schools, exposing, you know, Agenda 2030, exposing, you know, there's so much there. But the reality is, the more I've fought this fight, the more I've, and you know, especially when you look at Epstein, you look at P. Diddy, you'll start to, there's an underbelly below it all. Mm-hmm. There's something beneath it. And to me, I'm beyond chopping up at, you know, focusing on again, all the different political problems. And I want to focus on the root of the issue. And the root of the issue is what we're talking about. And no one wants to talk about it because it's heavier, it's dark. But the fact of the matter is, there is organized evil. I mean, when you have literally satanic symbols popping up everywhere, statues popping up in different, you know, city halls, in Hollywood, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you look through, I mean, it is, and to me, if I'm going to be alive in this time, in this time of the history of the earth, and fight. I want to be effective. I want to make a difference. I'd rather focus on the root of the problem than sitting here like we have been in the past, like I've been in the past, you know, fighting all the topical issues that are the left-right garbage. Mm-hmm. It's not left-right. And that's what they want, right? They want us divided. They want us fighting each other, because when I'm fighting with someone on the left and let's talk about Mike Lee's bill, okay? I don't care where you stand on Mike Lee's bill, but the fact of the matter is, they tried to make, you know, you had farmers pushing against that. You had ranchers pushing against it. You had hunters. You had conservatives that were saying, hey, I don't like this. But what was all the narrative coming from our politicians? Oh, the left is spinning this out of control. The left is putting out so much propaganda. Oh, the left. Why? Because they're trying to trigger us into thinking, oh, yeah, the enemy is the bad guy. So I've got to do the opposite, which is I got to stand with Mike Lee. No, it's not left, right. I mean, all of these people are pushing us more and more progressively into, you know, again, you look where we're headed at AI governance. Mm-hmm. You look where we're headed the wrong direction. We're not heading towards more freedom. And so, look, the founding fathers are very clear. You cannot trust people in power, right? I think it was George Washington that said, government is not reason. It is fire, and like it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Mm-hmm. They were terrified of what history has shown that people in power will do. And so everything that they did in creating the Constitution was to protect the people from people in power and to limit what their ability to create tyranny. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to say that, no, anyone who's a Republican is a good guy. All those people in power are good. We don't need to hold them accountable, but as long as they're not Democrats, mm-hmm. They want us in the left-right narrative, because when we're in that paradigm, it allows Bush to get away with pushing the Patriot Act.
Right.
Okay. It allows Trump to roll out with
Palantir. We're going to talk about that in a sec.
And where's the right? Oh, well, we need it because it's for our, you know, because it's our guy. As long as it's not Biden.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think we need to get back to where our founding fathers were, which is we don't trust anybody in power. We trust we the people. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, that's where I'm at with a lot of this.
Yeah. So to me and for my viewers, we're both based in Utah. To me, you're one of the biggest fighters in Utah. My heart, this is difficult for me. And I think that this is true for my generation, is there are a lot of us who want to do something on the left and on the right, but they're fighting this boogeyman. Yeah. There's not a person or an idea to fight. And so we don't know what we're looking at. And what you've kind of identified it as is evil. But in your opinion, how do we actually pragmatically fight the evil that you're talking about?
That's a great question. I think step one is be aware of it. Let me be more specific in your question, if you don't mind. Like, help me understand this. Ask me that again, a little bit more specific.
Yeah, so like a lot of people talk about like the deep state, for example, and they talk about how that there are these underlying powers in Washington that are not elected, or maybe they are elected, and they talk about that, but it's like, okay, what do we do with that information? Like, sure, we can sit on a podcast, we can talk about it, we can talk about how evil it is and how awful it is, but what are we going to do about it? What is the actual substantive action that we can take in order to get rid of that?
Yeah, that's the right question. I appreciate that. And I want to say this too. I have the most like mad respect for you and and like your generation. Like, I love seeing the fire that's coming out of, you know, this younger generation of men and women, and this return to like principles, return to mm-hmm. like what this country is founded upon, and this rejection of you know, the wokeness that's gone on. But the answer to that is, at least I believe, lies in, because this, what we're talking about is tyranny, right? There's always been a battle for the agency of man against tyranny. And one of my heroes is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Okay. He wrote the Gulag Archipelago, and he was one man who ended up in a gulag, in a prison, where people were being tortured. I mean, not that far off of what was going on with the Jews in the Holocaust. I mean, the torturing was insane. It was like these guards sat around them for fun. They would imagine ways to create pain, to torture these people. And it was just like you can't even imagine the sick things these people did. So he's in this gulag for years of his life. And what can one man do against such evil? Well, what he realized is what he can do is he can speak the truth. He can expose it. He can use the most powerful thing God gave him, which is the Logos, which is what you're doing here, right? Why do you do this? Because there is power in communicating. There's power mm-hmm. in speaking. There's power in the spoken word. God created the world using the Logos.
Right.
So, and one of the things he basically said, he says, you know, one man who tells the truth can bring down a tyranny. So he wrote basically when he got out the Gulag Archipelago, and it was nearly cost him his life several times, but he wrote this book and it got out. Well, they actually give him credit for bringing down the whole communist regime, for bringing the Soviet Union to its knees through that book, because the world was living in a lie. The West, we were living in a lie. We were living in a lie that communism was good, that it worked, and that it was producing these great fruits. Evil and tyranny always rest in lies, in deceit, in darkness. Mm-hmm. So the most powerful thing against tyranny or against the lie is the truth. That is why, what is the thing that these people fear the most? The truth. That is why they are so focused on censor. What was their biggest fear? What was called the deep state, whatever, you know, the thing they feared most during COVID was what?
Free speech, the truth.
Free speech, the
people
truth.
Talking about it, yeah.
So what it was censor, because they fear light. Mm-hmm. Light is truth. What was it that brought us out of that and that shut down all that, the you know, the mandates and the garbage that went on those years? It was people speaking. And this is what's cool. And this is what I think is an amazing thing right now, right? Like, this is why this should matter so much to your listeners and to you and to us. Like, for generations, for decades, the world has been controlled by a few select people that own the mainstream media, right? Like, the mainstream media was able to control the thinking of almost all humanity. Mm-hmm. And when that was created, I mean, it was like, it was easy, because if you own the mainstream media, you control people's thinking.
Over.
You
yeah.
controlled the narrative. And right. Plato said, he who tells the stories rules the world. Mm-hmm. Very important quote. He who tells the stories rules the world. When you own the stories, you rule the world. You rule what's in people's thinking. This is what's awesome about right now, about the time we live in. And this is why that we're seeing so much incredible things happen right now, is because for the first time, power has been given to the people through citizen journalism. Mm. All of a sudden, people like you, people like Joe Rogan, people like me, you know, some of us who are just nobodies, we got a microphone.
Right.
I can share what I'm seeing. I can share my perspective. And all of a sudden, in a world where people are starting to see that and wake up because of that, people are starting to see, wait a minute, you know, this is true. And they were able to figure out that the whole narrative behind COVID was a lie. So we're in a point right now where the people are gaining power, and our power comes through our ability to communicate truth and share truth with one another. So for the first time, the elite are losing power because they're losing control of the narrative. And we are the ones now telling the story. Mm-hmm. So this is an amazing time. And this is really a battle. And people don't realize how significant of a time and shift in the world this is right now. This is a battle between we the people and the ruling elite. And the battle is over the narrative. So back years ago, this type of stuff, they could control the narrative. They could keep stuff like this, you know, in the, you know, Epstein, no one would know about Epstein, right?
Right. That's what's so crazy.
But now, because of this, people know. And so all of a sudden is just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and we have thousands of people who are able to do what millions of people who do what Alexander Solzhenitsyn did, which is shine light on the truth, which is what they fear, mm-hmm. right? They operate in secrecy. You know, that's what Hollywood, these politicians, and again, I will take any politician, and there's no way any of them can challenge what I'm talking about, because they are all tied up in this secret. Mm. But the thing the darkness fears the most, the evil, what is the truth? So what can, you know, we do? Speak the truth. Because the more people start to speak the truth, and the more the truth gets out, the more light that gets out. It's like the emperor who wears no clothes. Right. Their power rests in us going along with the illusion, right? That the emperor is wearing this amazing up. But once enough people start to say, wait, he's wearing no clothes, this is all a lie. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, look, tyranny only works when the masses go along with it. It only works with, but the minute the masses rise up and realize their power, tyrants are always few in number. They always lose. And so when the masses awaken to their awful situation and they recognize what's happening, there's no limit to the power that we have, especially when we're aligned with God. So what can we do against such, you know, in such times? Speak, talk to your neighbors, share content. I mean, fight the battle for truth, for light. I mean, this is, you know, if you're a religious person, you believe in, you know, in that we've always existed. I mean, isn't this what the fight has always been about? A right. battle for the minds of men. Mm-hmm. It's the same fight. But right now we have been given a huge opportunity to truly change the world through through the logo. And that's where each individual has a microphone. And mm-hmm. As this information spreads, and as we refuse to bow down to this new narrative that Trump, these people are pushing, that that this stuff doesn't exist, that's where we win. But the minute we sit back and say, well, there maybe, you know, and go along with the lie again, that's when they win. So again, it's the same battle it's always been, but this time, for the first time, we're coming to a real battle where who's going to win out? Will it be the masses? Will it be the regular people with the microphones? Or will it be the few, the elite, and the mainstream narrative? And they can't handle this. We saw that during COVID. They lost.
Totally. Yeah, everyone knows now. In that same vein, guys, I want to let you know Jason does fantastic work. Go check him out at wearethepeople.org. And then also wearethepeopleutah is your handle for Instagram and YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, go check him out. Fantastic work. Growing your business is amazing, but it's very, very difficult. Accountants, sales guys, marketing specialists, they're all essential for scaling your business, but it can be incredibly expensive and the quality of the talent that you're looking for can be lacking. And that's why I partnered with Leverage Assistant. Leverage Assistant connects American businesses like yours with those accountants, data analysts, marketing specialists, sales assistants, you name it, working in the exact same time zones as your business for a fraction of the cost. The average company right now is saving over $20,000 in labor costs with Leverage Assistant. Leverage Assistant isn't a recruiter. It's not a marketplace. It is a high-touch resourcing solution. Every assistant is vetted through 12 hours of interviews, skill tests, reference checks, and behavioral assessments to ensure that they're the right cultural and operational fit for your business. Right now, they're being incredibly generous with just my viewers. They are giving all the businesses with me just 1 month completely free. You don't have to pay at all. You get 1 month to see how great the talent is for yourself. Go check it out right now. In order to get that great deal, go to the link in the description below. I want to ask you about Palantir. Okay. Palantir is really interesting because nobody knows about it. Like, as far as I can tell, I don't know if it was the Iran-Israel conflict. I don't know if it was the Big Beautiful Bill or the tariffs, but that got swept way under the rug. So I would love for you to kind of expose some of my viewers to this, because I have a feeling a lot of people don't know what's going on, and then your thoughts about it as well.
Yeah, so you got to know Peter Thiel. You got to know the players behind it.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool. People, see, this is something I've been harping on since before Trump got elected, because Peter Thiel, who's the founder of Palantir, and we'll get into Palantir, but people don't know. Like, my first big red flags with Trump was actually J.D. Vance. And
we share that. We share that, by the way.
Yeah, because so many people, again, we're so wired to trust and to believe what people tell us.
Yeah.
That when you get one of these politicians get up there and they say everything we want to say, or everything we want to hear, and they stand in front of us and they throw rocks at our enemies and they champion our causes, we want to believe that they are who they are. We want to believe good is winning. But no one wants to dig into J.D. Vance. But he was actually, did you know Palantir? It was actually Peter Thiel who funded him.
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's awesome.
But a lot of people don't.
Yeah, so, yeah. So he became a senator. It was, I think, $13 million that Thiel gave to him. Mm-hmm. That's where he got his start, Peter Thiel. So once he came on is with Trump as a VP, all this money from the PayPal mafia, from basically the Palantir execs, started flowing to the Trump campaign. And at that point, I was like, we are in massive trouble, because I could already see the writing on the wall, right? Trump's going to come in and he's going to start pushing for the deportations. And what do you think's going to happen? I mean, you didn't have to, I mean, this, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's going to, what's happening. All the illegals that are here, all the terrorists that are here, that we know there are sleeper cells here. Once Trump's in, he starts going after these people and it starts to become a big, huge public display, right? Like going into people's, you know, workspaces and arresting people. Do we not think we're going to see like this, what's happened with the riots? Well, you've got everything. This is why the left paradigm is so perfect. The left comes in and creates the problem. They open the border. They let crime run wild in the streets. They create all the chaos. And then what does the right do? They come in and they give the solution. Well, what's the solution? And the solution is, and again, same thing with Bush. Let's go back to the same playbook, right? You have the terror attacks. The solution is, for our safety, we need the Patriot Act. And all of a sudden, we're going to give the government all this power to survey anyone they want, as long as they are deemed a threat. Well, guess what? A few years later, mom who shows up at the school board meeting is a terrorist threat. And now right. You've got, again, the left, right, this is the game they play. So the left creates all the problems. They open their borders. And what did all the politicians of the right really do? A lot of yak, but nothing to stop actually it from happening. So now you got the sleeper cells here. You have all the problems. And now what's going to happen is, and I'm going to tell you, it's... So first off, let's talk about Palantir, and then we'll talk about how it's going to implement it. So for those, and a lot of you already know, and I'm so glad. This is what's cool. People didn't know 6 months ago because no one was talking about it, right? Again, the power of the logos. But now people like you guys or everyone's starting to talk about it, so now people are aware. And because they're aware, they don't have a choice to resist it. You can't resist something you're ignorant to. So Palantir basically think about China's social credit system, right? Mm-hmm. This incredible surveillance system they have in China that is tied to each individual, where they know everything about you. If you jaywalk, they can tell just by the way you walk across the street, they know it's you, and boom, they could tap into your social credit score and they can take it down, which means all of a sudden you can't buy certain things. You can't, it limits your freedoms. Palantir makes China's social credit system look like child's play. It is the most advanced surveillance system that has ever been conceived. And the only thing you can, and actually they call it pre-crime. Like they believe they have the ability to, and this is one of the things that was going on with Doge, when they were integrating everyone, oh, this is great. But they're not seeing the dark side of what was happening with Doge, which is they're integrating all of your data now. From Social Security to the IRS, all of your data that the government has that used to be kind of unorganized and in different, files that weren't speaking together, they pulled it all together, and now they're integrating it with everything about you, with Google, like everything that's out there. And we thought Google was good, like surveilling and knowing what. So they have so much data on you, especially with AI. They believe they can predict you creating a crime before you even do it.
That's the scary part. I mean, that's literally dystopian. Like, there are movies about that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I wanted to, before you go on, what is the Trump administration saying? What is the justification for doing this?
Well, here's the beautiful thing. This is why it's been so perfect. And this is why the woke stuff matters too, is they had us so, and again, the woke stuff matters, right? Like it's not like it doesn't matter, but they had us so focused on, gender and on men and women's sports. And again, those things do matter, but they had us so worked up on that all they have to do is come in and say, well, guess what? No more men and women's sports. And everyone cheers. And then in the same bill, all of a sudden we're pushing this forward, but no one's talking about it. And sadly, so many of the big social influencers that now have almost become part of Trump's administration, they're also not talking about it. And so again, they've just shifted, and so they realize the mainstream media is losing its credibility. So what are they doing? They're focusing on bringing in several of these influencers, and whether the influencers know what's going on or not, they're being very much directed about what narrative they want. Yeah. So again, it's the same thing. Control the narrative. He who tells the stories to rule the world. They've just realized, hey, we've got to we need to use these influencers because that is where the power is. So you've got a lot of these social influencers that are not talking about it, who are staying focused on the talking points, which is, hey, we're getting men out of women's sports. Hey, you know, no more trans, no more this. And yeah, those things are issues, but guess what? I don't think that's not what's going to enslave my children, men and women's sports. Like, it's an issue, but it's not like
free bounty. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Right. So they've got us focused on the wrong issues. So I'm trying to remember the initial question. I went off on it.
Just what is Trump saying? Like, how is he justifying
this? So honestly, the way they're justifying is how they justify the Patriot Act for our safety. But the main thing is they just don't acknowledge it.
Gotcha.
And the media is not addressing it. No, the media knows, hey, we don't question it because it's, again, both sides want it. Because it is them against us. So the left isn't going to call that out. The media is not calling it out, so they don't even have to justify it. But the neat thing is people are starting to, because of, you know, this, people we're having conversations. It's forcing it out there. But the way they will roll it out... And this again, so that's what it is. Now let's talk about the way it gets rolled out and the justification.
Yeah.
It'll be the same thing they did with the Patriot Act. And this is where, you know, you look what's going on with Iran and right now everything's fine in the Middle East, but I'm going to tell you things will continue to escalate. And those sleeper cells, at some point there will be something that where these sleeper cells go off. And I believe we will see chaos. And this is just my prediction. But I think history bears some, that there's logic in what I'm saying. But I believe we are very close to some organized event where we will see systematic chaos, like what we saw in Israel on October 7th. Okay? And that was organized, right?
That's in terms of terrorism, you're saying?
Yes. Right? Yes. And both, and again, Israel didn't see this coming, right? Sometimes you need, again, they used this, the terrorism for, that's just like 9/11, right? Look what came out of it, right? Look what came out of 9/11. And what came out of it was we lost a lot of freedoms and the federal government got power it should have never had. Mm. And we are one October 7th event away from having the type of chaos where people will beg for safety. They will beg for a solution. And guess what? When we are begging for a solution, the solution that will come to us to protect us will be the rollout of a surveillance state so that we can find our enemies. We can find these people. We can see them. We can predict before they even do it. And that will be what they will use to justify it, because right now they're not having to justify it because most people don't know what it's even and people are just barely starting to figure out what it is. But once that event happens, and that can't happen too soon because they have to get things in place. And right now, this is what ticks me off is no one's been paying attention to, again, because it's Trump and because he's the right and he's you know, been saved by God. And see, this is why Trump's so perfect for this time. And by the way, I used to love Trump. Voted for him both times. But Trump is perfect for this time, and I think he is there for a reason, because you want to take a country down, you want to install these things, you need it's divide and conquer, right? This came from Machiavelli, and they use it in color revolutions all over the world. You put the country at war with each other. Trump is the perfect person that. Why? Because on the one hand, you have Trump derangement syndrome, which is real. Like, these guys are freaking crazy. Like, anything he does, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, we have Trump savior syndrome, which is Trump can do no wrong. And the mental gymnastics people will go through to justify anything he does, including the Epstein stuff. Oh, well, he's trust the plan. I mean, is ridiculous. What perfect person to lead the country into civil war, right? And so he's the perfect person for the job. And because you have right now so many people that are just like Trump savior syndrome, as he implements Palantir, which he has been in all these bills, the right just does mental gymnastics. They're the ones who are defending it.
I was just going to say, in that same vein, you were talking a lot about, and this has been something you've talked about for a long time. In fact, I didn't even know about any of this until I saw some of your videos on it, is the 15-minute city stuff. Talk to my viewers about what's going on in Utah specifically with that and how that is going to get rolled out across the whole nation.
Yeah. Utah's awesome.
Ground zero for a lot of crap, which people, again, I have a very national audience. People do not understand. They see the deep red every time the electoral map goes over, and they think Utah's fine. Utah's good. There's a lot of great things here. I love Utah, obviously. I was born, raised here, but there are some crazy crap going down.
Yeah. Well, it should raise eyebrows when during the last election, we're the only state that moves further left. Mm. And if you, to understand Utah is, there's a lot of, you need to understand. Utah is, it is ground zero for a lot of reasons. This place, it does matter. And I believe it matters I do have a biblical perspective. I think, you can't understand politics without having, especially in the day we live, without having a biblical perspective. If there's a God, right? If there's God, if these things are true, if we are in the last days, which everyone cognitively will agree, but then there's cognitive dissonance when you actually like sit down and try to put together the pieces together. No one wants to like admit it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, it is integrated. It is real. But Utah is in the middle of everything. We're more in bed with China than any other state. And there came out an article from the Associated Press, and you can find it's called China Finds an Unlikely Friend in Utah, where it says that China has a bigger foothold in the state than any other state, even to where they can control our legislators, push legislation forward they want, stop legislation they don't want. China is deeply in bed with Utah. Why is that? And again, you can go to Huntsman, but that's, it's significant. It matters because there is no greater threat to America than China, right? There is no greater threat. And China is very much China, the World Economic Forum. They're just two different tentacles of the same octopus, right? Mm-hmm. It is the model that they're trying to push the world. So that you have that. You've got, the 15-minute cities. And again, 15-minute city sounds awesome in a perfect world. Like, my wife's from New York City. We go to New York City all the time. We love New York. But I'll tell you what, during COVID, you did not want to be in New York. And that was then, okay? You start to roll out stuff like Palantir, where all of a sudden you can't walk out your door, and you have everything smart, everything connected to the internet, and then everything watching you. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Let's say we walk in this 15-minute city, or we allow it to happen around us. And it's done under a time of peace where, let's pretend that the left-right narrative is real, and that the Republicans, the good guys, are in office and there's no threat. Well, guess what? Even in that world of left-right, that pretend magical world, eventually the left will come into power. Eventually there will be another lockdown.
Totally.
What happens in the next lockdown, the next cyber attack, the next, pandemic, whatever you want to call it? When all of a sudden you got a problem with what's going on, and you've got a problem with government. And I mean, you just saw what they did in 2020, the tyranny. You couldn't go to work. You couldn't do this. I mean, it's crazy how we've forgotten how out of control things got.
And it's only been 5 years.
Yes.
We couldn't go to church. We couldn't go outdoors. Like, but we couldn't go to the beach.
So now you're in a smart city, right? So everything's connected. Your water, your gas, your electricity, everything is connected to the internet. And everything is also watching everything. There is, you are always in under surveillance.
Right.
And then let's not forget about what's coming. Like with what, I mean, I mean, you got, you're like, what is the big thing right now that Elon Musk and all these techies are talking about, including Bill Gates? They're saying in 5 years from now, no more cell phones.
Right.
Okay. People haven't asked, why will there be no cell phones? And we're no longer going to communicate. Well, what are these guys all working on? They all have different versions. Neuralink. Yeah. Okay. Where super your scary. Mind, you will have AI. And this is, again, if all you have to do is take a step back and think about progression, right? What's happening now? AI is rolling out. What is it? 20% of people are not going to have jobs in 5 years, something like that. all of a sudden you have all these people on universal basic income living in their smart cities, or maybe there's not smart cities, but they're all on universal basic income. I mean, Elon and all these people have said this, we're going to need that for people to live because AI will replace so many jobs. Well, then Neuralink rolls around, and guess what? You've been sitting on universal basic income. You haven't been working. You're not happy. Well, I've got a solution for you. You can now compete with AI because we're going to put AI in you. Now you can be back in the workforce. Now all of a sudden you have the advantage. So people will welcome this. But again, the danger is when you think about propaganda now, when you're like things popping up on, you know, you're talking about something, boom, an ad pops up. Did that just pop up or did it hear me? Well, what happens when all of a sudden you have AI inside of you? Did that idea come from you? Did it come from AI? Who's running the ship here? One of the things they talk about with this technology is they say they will have the ability to create pleasure and pain.
Yeah. Hook into your like receptors.
Yes. I mean, and people just don't think about like what happens when you're in your smart city. And literally that's your thoughts are able to be perceived by this AI. And it has the ability to even create pain. I mean, I'm sorry. I've read the Gulag Archipelago. I've my wife's Jewish. I've studied what happened in the Holocaust. I know what tyrants are capable and the sickness, the thrill they get off creating pain in people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just look, and this is why you can't not see biblically how this stuff is connected. But the fact of the matter is, why should people be concerned about this stuff? Because you're living in la-la land if you don't see that what evil people are capable of doing. And if you don't see how this technology, how this world that is coming together can be used for wrong and bad. It's just, and especially the thing that concerns me, why aren't we having conversations about this stuff that's being rolled out? Why are there no conversations on the public forum?
Yeah, true. It's just kind of undecided, we just kind of decided it's a great thing because it's progress forward instead of talking about it.
Yeah, we are moving into a technocracy. Uh-huh. Which means you have these tech giants working with politicians, owning politicians, deciding for us. They're creating this new world. And we're not involved in the conversation. We're moving from we the people having the power and us controlling politicians, us controlling the world around us, which we still do. Right? Again, this big, beautiful bill, this whole thing with Mike Lee. We came together, left, right, together and said, hell no, we don't want it. And guess what? We shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
We still have that power. But where we are moving, the decisions that are being made, we're not being included in. And people should be very concerned about that. So again, I think we're headed to some very, very, I just honestly think very dangerous places as a human race. And I think people have their heads, just like in Rome, bread and circus. And where is a lot of the circus? It's in our politics. It's the distractions around us. It's in our phone. No one's thinking about these real issues because we're so worried about men and women's sports. So that's the smart city. And again, come back to Utah. Well, why Utah? Because we're in the middle of it all. Like Utah's rolling out smart cities. The point when we confronted the governor, hey governor, what's going on in smart cities? Very calm. Asked him. He freaks out. Yeah. He says there's no such thing. I says, hey, well, you know what? There's dialogue on your website about with the World Economic Forum. Oh, there's no such thing as a World Economic Forum. No such thing as the World Economic Forum. You're governor of Utah and you're lying. You're literally telling me that there's no such thing as the World Economic Forum. You've never heard of the World Economic Forum. And it's on camera, you saying that. If there is nothing nefarious here, Governor Cox, why would you need to lie?
Yeah, just tell the truth.
Right? Literally, when you could get on Google at the time and when you put a pin there, it literally said the point of 15-minute city. And they, within a week of that dialogue, was changed off Google.
Yeah.
But still, you can go look at the point, look up, and it's all there.
And we've got one going up 10 minutes from here. I mean, me and my wife, we're out of here when that's...
it's going up. It's being implemented all over. Okay? So, again, there's a lot to cover here, and we're jumping, but
sure.
but so smart cities. The United Nations, okay? The United Nations Agenda 2030, all the SDGs. That's where a lot of this stuff originates from. That is, the United Nations is very focused on a global one world government, one world religion. I mean, it's all in their documents. Ezra Taft Benson, who used to be Secretary of State, called it planned tyranny. They used to, you know, people, it literally has its foundations. I mean, when you dig into it, the satanic elements of the United Nations are through the roof. Again, you can't not see it if you have eyes. If you just go look at it, you don't have to have eyes to see. It's all there. Well, isn't it interesting that the only place the United Nations meets outside of New York City in America is Salt Lake?
Really?
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. No, the United Nations and Utah are very much in bed together.
Wow.
In fact, if you go see some of our shows, you can see, you go right on the United Nations websites of the SDGs and how they're rolling a lot of these smart cities and digital twin cities, which is basically where instead of traveling, you're going to virtually travel. And then we can take you right to UDOT, to Utah's web pages, and show you the exact same plan being implemented here.
Whoa.
Like we are the test state. Why? Mm-hmm. For the same reason we have politicians like Mitt Romney, you know, John Curtis. I mean, you go down the list. Cox. We are a state that has been, and I use this word intentionally, programmed to be blindly obedient and trusting to authority. So, you know, and we could go, I mean, this, and we could go down issue after issue with Utah. Again, all the natural resources. Utah matters. I really believe, and again, you look in Utah County, we're pushing out a lot of the stuff that is being used for digital ID. We're the one of the first states that's pushing out digital ID. Mm-hmm. You know, we have digital driver's license right now, and the way the digital driver's license are already rolled out is so that, let's say you go and you want to go anywhere you go to use it. Let's say you go to whether it's anywhere where they need your ID. What'll happen before you get the green light when you go to use your ID? Let's say you didn't have the vaccine. Let's go back to 2020. You want to go to a football game and you need your passport or you need to have your vax. When you go to the stadium, they'll scan your digital ID. When they scan your digital ID right now, they scan it. They see nothing. Well, what'll happen is in the system that Utah has implemented, they scan it. It goes back to the database at the state, and the state gives either the thumbs up, you're good, or thumbs down. But the state also knows everywhere you're going with that.
So the private vendor like doesn't even know why it's a thumbs up or down. It's just simply like the state.
They may. Like, no. They may. I mean, okay. That's between them what information the state wants to give them. But the fact of the matter is, right now your ID is just a card. It's physical. It's on you. It just has this basic information. But all of a sudden, it's now could be tied to your vaccines. It could be tied to your social credit score. Mm-hmm. Are you a good, you know? And again, why is it Utah seems to be so progressive on all these things? So, you know, Utah's a state, and if you really want to understand Utah, why Utah matters so much, and this is one a rabbit hole I'm not going to send you down now, but I will tell you, we've done shows on it.
Okay.
And it comes down to, there is a very dark underbelly in this state. DC has it. Okay, the three states that have these dark underbellies: DC, Hollywood, and Utah. Utah is an interesting place. It has, you know, of all the that happens only in this state, most people are not going to report it. Most of it goes unreported. But what does get reported, it's where does that put Utah nationally? And you can go to AI, go check it out. Utah is ranked second highest in the country for sexual abuse. Mm. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? When you start to put all these pieces together, like there's something more happening here. It's not just a bunch of dumb politicians. There's something much more deeper, and that's where you get into the Epstein stuff. And I will tell you, that stuff is real. The P. Diddy stuff. Again, it's you, Hollywood.
Who got out of it, by the way?
Yeah, of course. Of course, and this goes crazy. Back. Of course, no, this is the point. This is the point. They are sworn to protect each other. Okay? David Hamblin, all right? And for those who don't know who David Hamblin is, you want to understand what the real corruption in Utah? Look up David Hamblin, the Hamblin victim statement kids, the girls. He admitted on camera to raping his daughter. You could go down person after person. He's whatever, and yet never convicted. Like, this is a guy that without doubt should be behind bars. Mm-hmm. But there's a level of evil in this country, in this world, where people will they protect each other. And that is then when we talk about the heart of the real issue, the heart of the battle, the light and dark, that is the reality. And, you know, this is a state where the predominant religion, you know, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have been warned about secret combinations, been warned about, you know, ether that when you awaken these awful situation to your awful situation about the secret, that the secret combinations, which literally shall be among you. And it talks about exactly what they look like. And yet here we are, the one state that should be the most awake to it. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, there's three places in this country where these things are the most prevalent. This, the heart of the country, the capital, the political heart of the country, DC, the cultural heart of the country, Hollywood, and the spiritual heart of the country, which I believe is right here. And those three places have become saturated by this kind of darkness. And that is why Utah is in the middle of everything. It comes down to that.
The progressive left is a cult. They act like a cult. They do crazy things like a cult. And I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. Go check it out right now. It's only $9.99 on Amazon. I talk about some crazy stories that I know you'll enjoy seeing. The link is in the description below.
One of the good people, one of the fighters in Utah is Dr. Kirk Moore.
Yes.
Which you talked about. I want you to talk about his story and what's going on with him right now, because not a lot of people know about this.
Yeah, this is interesting too, because this is huge. So basically, you got this doctor, awesome doctor, close friend of mine. During, you know, everything going on in 2020, you had people who needed a transplant, literally one of his patients needed a transplant, but guess what? You don't take their shot, you can't get the transplant.
The COVID jab, yep. Specifically, right?
Yep, yep. So he's got, and many, many, if you didn't have the shot, you couldn't get the job, your job. I mean, there was like literally people's lives were being held hostage if they didn't have it. Well, patients started coming to him and say, look, this goes against my conscience to get this. You know, people like us. So he starts, giving people saline shots instead of, help so that these one woman could get her transplant. He helped 800 to 1,000 people, none of whom ever filed a complaint, all who deeply appreciated him, okay? Well, federal government's now coming after him.
Mm-hmm. And, started with the Biden administration, correct?
Started with the Biden administration, okay. but guess what? And this is the big thing. Let's talk about Pam Bondi. Mm-hmm. We have, and this is, you're going to see how this all ties together now. Pam Bondi, who was all hot about, we put her in office, we put Trump because they were going to go after Epstein. Because again, this country is being run by pedophiles who are protecting each other. And that's what the Epstein thing is. Because how can we allow this stuff to go on? This stuff matters to people, right? If kids are being trafficked and abused, especially by politicians, if this underbelly we're talking about is real, and that's why Epstein matters, because it says it's real. And if it isn't real, why was he arrested? And if there was nothing there, why kill himself? Mm-hmm. If he didn't do anything, but all of a
sudden—
Which
everyone believes happened, right, by the way.
Right, but apparently— something was there. There was substance to it. And all of a sudden now, Pam Bondi and Trump say there's nothing there. Well, guess what just happened today with Pam? What will come out in the news today?
Today? You're saying today? Okay.
Today this will come out.
Yesterday. This is coming out tomorrow. Okay. But yeah.
Pam Bondi, the prosecution prosecuting Kirk Moore, went to Pam Bondi and said, should we dismiss this? Pam Bondi allegedly, and this is coming out today, said no. She is the reason they're going after him for 35 years.
So the DOJ is the one prosecuting
him? Yes. And wow. Pam Bondi specifically was, according to the prosecution, again, all this is all come out in the media and the people are going to dig into this, but sure. I'm just giving you guys this is like breaking before it even breaks, because I'm very close to this, But no, Pam Bondi's right in the middle of all this. She is the reason. She could have shut this down.
Wow.
And here's what's crazy, okay? Kirk Moore, not only did he do these things to help people, he was honoring his Hippocratic oath to do no harm.
Right.
This is a guy who has two kids. Those two kids lost their mother, his wife, in 2019. And you have a DOJ and Pam Bondi wanting to lock this guy up for 35 years and leave those kids fatherless and parentless. Meanwhile,
35 years. That's
35 years. Wow. Meanwhile, you've got people running right here in Utah. We don't need to go to California. We don't need to go all around all the rest of the country. The criminals and the crime and the, and how much just all the people who are just wrecking havoc in this country running free. Let's just talk about our own backyard. Go down to Pioneer Park. My son-in-law is a police officer there. And one of the things, you know, we because obviously I'm tuned into all the corruption here. He says, Jason, you know what? Here's the thing. We don't even arrest these people anymore. Why? Because they let them right back on the streets. So we will let these people run free, breaking every single, literally every type of crime you can imagine. And we've got Pam Bondi and our U.S. justice system trying to wreck these children's lives and put Dr. Moore behind bars. Are you freaking kidding me?
So what are the, like, just from your perspective, I'm sure, and you're really close to it, so you've talked to maybe attorneys and things like that. What do the odds look like? Does it look good for him, or do you think that he is going to face jail time, ultimately?
I think that depends on the people. I think it depends on us. Mm. I think if we stand up, if we fight, if we come together like we did against the situation with Mike Lee's, the land bill, like we've done on several other issues at certain times, if we just could have, in Utah, half of the people care enough about Kirk Moore, half the amount that showed up for the No Kings, just half. Think of how many people showed up for No Kings. If half the people who cared about freedom, half that a group that's half the size of No Kings would show up at the courthouse tomorrow, this will already be filmed by then, he wins. Mm. The pressure will be on the justice. Too many eyeballs, too much, it goes national, too much pressure.
Yeah.
But if the people sit back and we say, oh, this sucks and it's horrible and we don't get in the fight, he's already been in court several times. Most times I've actually been in there with him and I've seen the injustice. He was locked up for 23 days a few months ago. I've seen the injustice. They want to make an example of him. So it depends on us. So it's, in a sense, Dr. Kirk Moore is on trial, but in my mind, it's we the people who are on trial. Will we stand and fight against someone who stood and fought for us against something we all know is unjust, or will we sit back and let him get hung?
Yeah, I think you make a good point about the fact that it's kind of on us. This is actually something I said on one of your shows on your channel. Sometimes, especially going back to the left, right, not really being a real thing, is we talk about how there might be some sort of civil war in our country. Yeah. There might be some sort of break between the right and the left. And people will talk, literally, I mean, I've seen it online. They will talk about how they're going to go fight people in California because they're liberals. And my thing is, it's like, you're willing to go to war with people in your own country, but you're not willing to go to this, for example. You're not willing to just go to a courthouse and make your message be heard. That's a little crazy to me. Like, yeah. And I don't think anyone's actually, you know, people these days don't have the stones to actually go fight in a civil war. So I don't think they're being literal, but the fact that people are even talking about that as a solution, whereas they could do so much less, but almost counterintuitively, it's kind of more actually showing up to something, talking about what you believe, making your voice heard. For some reason, it's like harder for people to do that than say they're going to go shoot their neighbor because they're liberal.
Well, yeah, because in that plays, and that's because that plays to the enemy's plan, right? And let's talk, and I mean the real enemy, who, again, the battle of light and dark, because the enemy loves division. He loves the best way to destroy someone is through contention, and so there's, we are naturally motivated to fight each other, because again, there's, you know, contention comes from the enemy, and that's why they play off this. But what people need to realize is who the real enemy is. It's not the, you know, the guy with purple hair or who thinks he's a girl or you know, that's not the enemy. The enemy is the person who screwed up his head in the first place.
Agreed. 100%.
You know, that's what we stop thinking is, stop focusing on that guy who's been screwed up. Start focusing on who's the one who's screwing these people.
Totally.
And that is, it's been the media. That's the establishment. That's the elite. And that's where we need to lift our, stop getting focused on fighting each other. And all pull back and say, wait a minute, who's the puppet master That's doing this? Because on the right, and I hope some of you, this, I know this will resonate with some of your viewers. This is the danger on the right, is we're being pushed, manipulated into an extreme. Like, I've got friends on the right who are saying Hitler's all of a sudden okay and Hitler's good, totally. and who are becoming radicalized on the right. Mm-hmm. That's coming from above. Whether people recognize it or not, that's all coming from above. Like, that's, we are being manipulated. The same way the left is being manipulated that way, the right is being manipulated to this, and that's what's behind the Christian nationalist movement. Mm-hmm. Is the white Christian nationalist movement is this level of real racism coming back and feeling justified. And again, it's part of it is the natural swing in the pendulum, but the real part of it is the psyop to push us even further to an extreme, which will again do this. So again, let's stop focusing on each other and start focusing on the puppet masters. And once people start thinking that way, left, right, all of us, and we start realizing that the real enemy is not the people showing up at the No Kings protest. It's the people who are manipulating all of us to think that way. Because this is all a recent phenomenon. And what people need to just, it doesn't take a lot of thinking to think, where did all this thinking come from? Universities, the media. All you got to do is a very basic level thinking, who's funding it? Who's funding the media, the stuff in there? And all of a sudden you start to realize Soros, it's these Marxists who are behind it all. And the end goal for them is destroy this country, take away our sovereignty, and get us all living like slaves. And that's what the 2030 agenda is all about. That's what it all comes down to. And at the root of it all, at the root of everything, is what the true enemy that we're fighting, which is, you know, darkness, is after, is he hates freedom. He hates light. He hates agency. And what he wants is to rule and reign in a world where he is in complete control. And that Neuralink and the smart cities and everything that's coming will allow him to have, will reduce people's agency to stop, to think, and to act for themselves.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.